In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm on the air with you, I'm a father of five. I'm raising my children for hopefully a successful life, but I'm still trying to figure out what that involves. Now, some people are trying to tell us that the only way to be successful in life is to get an Ivy League education. You've got to go to college to be successful. But I've got some questions. Why go to college? Hey, there's been a 10% decline in literacy and reading comprehension among college graduates in the last 10 years. So again, I repeat the question, folks. Why go to college? I know there are reasons to go to college, but there are also guys out there who understand that college can be a gigantic waste of time. You know, somebody once said, A students wind up teaching, and B students work for C students. You know, Dave, George W. Bush was a C student at Yale, probably skipped class half the time, and he's been relatively successful. He's got a few guys working for him.
He does.
Yeah.
He had better grades than John Kerry.
One of the slightly better. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, college education tends to be pretty bad in life integration. It has moved education off to the island, away from the real areas of life such as family, church, and work, and it has been increasingly irrelevant, and it does not prepare students to be relevant in the workforce. And that's because it's not about discipleship. College education, ladies and gentlemen, college education is not about discipleship. It's not about mentorship. It's not about relationships. It's not about life. It's not about character. It's about sitting in a classroom on an island called education and doing something. Turns out to be a very slow and inefficient way to nurture the mind and character for life. It's an efficient way to process people through a system, but it's not an efficient way for the individual who wants more out of life than to be processed through a system. Now, Dave, how does a guy survive, though, without credentials? This is my question here. Because we're going to deal with this college question today again on Generations. But how does a guy survive without credentials? You'll never be successful without credentials. I mean, nobody will believe you without credentials. David, you don't have a PhD after your name. Who's going to listen to you? Or better yet, a THD, a doctorate in theology. Then they'll listen. They'll come to your church. Of course, did Jesus have a THD?
Yeah, it turns out that the church, the most important force in all of Western culture, started out by a bunch of unschooled fishermen.
Guys who fished for a living. These weren't seminary graduates.
No, and this is what the seminary graduates said about them. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and yet they marveled. And then they realized that they had been with Jesus.
Oh, so they hung out with the Son of God for a while. That seemed to do the trick.
Apparently they got a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge about heaven, earth, reality, sin, a lot of things, but they didn't get a degree.
But no THD.
Apparently they're just auditing the course.
Who wants to waste time sitting through college classes, my friends? Hey, Ray Kroc didn't. Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, worth billions of dollars. Bill Gates, Henry Ford, almost every billionaire I can think of never went to college, never got a college degree. And Dave, here's another question I have. When do you stop learning stuff?
When you enter college.
I guess that's it. Yeah, this whole idea of graduation. You know, I think it doesn't matter whether you go to college or not, whether you're Ray Kroc or you go to college and you turn out to be some college professor, I guess, because you got straight A's and you get to teach for the rest of your life. Whether you're really successful at doing real stuff in life or not, you still need to be learning stuff. You still got to be learning from the books. And I think there's a temptation to want to jump into the economics of life and avoid the study that comes with reading and writing and rhetoric and that sort of thing. But it is important to continue to study. And Jesus and his disciples studied all the time, but they really lived together. And it was more about mentorship and discipleship than it was about just sitting down and absorbing facts.
Well, college is not about making smart people. I mean, because the colleges only accept smart people. Harvard, you have to be smart to get there. They only take the cream of the crop, academically speaking. College is about bringing a culture of institutionalism to people, so they go out and serve in another institution called a corporation. It is about a culture of separating children from parents and having wild parties and involved in the system. It is not about creating greatness.
Folks, you don't need to go to college to be successful. We've brought up several examples. Peter, Ray Kroc, Bill Gates, Henry Ford. I mean, there are different definitions of success, of course. But you simply do not need to go to college to be successful. That's the fact of the matter. And there are some young men out there bound to be incredibly successful in life. And they're not going to college. They're not up and leaving home to go to some Ivy League school. They want far more out of life than some Ivy League education will produce. Ladies and gentlemen, they may be a little unconventional, but they will be successful. In a moment, we're going to be back with several young men who are preparing for life, but they're not going to Ivy League schools. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back. Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today the topic is college. Do you have to go to college to be successful? Personally, I think that's the message that's been conveyed for the last, 40, 50 years of our nation's history. You pretty much have to go to college if you're going to be on the successful track of life, unless you want to dig ditches all your life. But that is not the way some folks see preparation for life. Now, with us today in studio is Chad Roach, who is my intern. He's 18 years old, and he is not going to college. He's not up and moving to some Ivy League school in order to prepare himself for a massively successful life. And yet, I'm sure, Chad, you are going to be successful. Also, with us on the phone line is Nathan Servin. This young man is 23 years old. He is not going to college. He's from St. Louis, Missouri. And both of you have been home educated. Chad?
Yeah, absolutely. I graduated at 16 years old, and I did go on to do a little bit of paralegal studies via correspondence. So I've done some continuing education after high school in the way of law, but I have not taken the typical college track of just, you know, cutting out of my family and moving out for 4 years.
Nathan, what have you been doing for the last 23 years?
Well, I was homeschooled, as you mentioned, and my parents followed primarily Hebrew model of education, very much large stress on relationships. We studied leadership skills, history, theology, apologetics. All these things were designed to improve the mind and to help me as I face the world. So I've been working and had many various and different opportunities to work in political campaigns. I earned my Eagle Scout. I've been studying as well as some post-secondary level work. It's been a very exciting time.
Now, Nathan, you're still at home in St. Louis, Missouri. Why are you not in your own apartment at 23 years of age?
Well, to answer that, I have to say primarily it's because of the family life. Like I said, I've had opportunity to go and work in other venues. But really, you miss out on so much that takes place. There's what God is doing in the life of parents and siblings is something that you can't yet when you're on your own. There's also, I think, in the homeschool movement, there's been a paradigm that's been rediscovered that says that there's a close relationship between your family that develops for the first 18 years. And when you become 18, the world says that you ditch that relationship and head off for college. However, I think that it's vital that we continue to build our relationship through our later years. There's benefits that come, like financial benefits, good counsel from your parents, interaction with younger siblings, all these things. But most importantly, I think one of the prime reasons to stay at home is that it counteracts a tendency towards self-centeredness and self-obsession that many young men fall into, and young women for that matter. When they go away to school, everything is about me. And they learn and they study, but there's no integration. Everything is in the abstract.
Now, Nathan, you're obviously preparing for something in life. You are staying in a family. You are doing other things. What are your goals? What's your vision for your life?
Well, I've broken down my goals into five basic areas, those being civil, cultural, ecclesiastical, familial, and vocational. In the civil sphere, I'd like to serve as a civil magistrate. I would like a position in office later in life. Culturally, I believe that we need to press the reformation of our society toward a distinctly Christian society. So that would be brought about through the publishing of books, the production of films, starting of school and libraries, and also hosting conferences. Ecclesiastically, I aspire to be an elder. I think every young man should aspire to be in leadership, especially in Christ Church, and there's various things that have to be done to prepare for that in this time. So studying, learning theology, learning how to have tact, prepare debates, so forth. Finally and familially, obviously marry and raise a family, and finally vocationally to develop businesses in multiple market sectors. So those are my goals in a rough nutshell.
That sounds great. Looks like you've got a full-orbed concept of life. Indeed, life is much more than vocational, involves a lot of other things. Chad, what are your goals? What are you looking to do in your life?
Well, Nathan put it real well in a real well-orbed vision for life. For me, it's just I want to take a vision for the Lord and pass that on to the next generation and through my children. I'm going to do everything that I can in my life. Send as much out through my fingers that I can in through what I say, what I do. But also I want to be preparing the next generation, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 sons after me to go out and do that again. And if I can't carry on what I believe past maybe the 80 years that I'm here on this earth, I can certainly do that with my sons and grandsons.
Chad, you're 18 years old and you've got ways to go before you get married. I don't think you're getting married anywhere too soon. But what needs to happen, Chad, between now and your wedding day?
Good question. Two things that come to the top of my mind. Number one, I need to be prepared financially. And this obviously is going to look different for every young man out there. You can't quantify it into a simple dollar amount, but I need to be ready to prepare for my own, because the very worst thing that could happen to me is that I end up being a 1 Timothy 5:8 case of not preparing for my household, not providing for my own. That would put me worse than an infidel. That's one place I definitely do not want to be. So in all my plans, in all my goals, in all my doings and going forths until now, until I get married, that has to be in the back of my mind. That's something I'm working towards. You know, my dad has taught me from a very young age to work hard. He taught me to do a lot of business work. I had a little lawn mowing business when I was younger. Now I'm working in sales. It's going to be something that I do no matter what other area of ministry or elsewise that the Lord would call me to.
Do you have any goals in terms of net worth, Chad? Where do you want to be when you're 23, 24 years old and you're ready to get married?
One thing for sure that I want is to be able to live in the country. Have a house. That doesn't all have to happen in one fell swoop, buying it all outright right up front there. But I'd like to be worth a couple hundred grand to be able to set up for myself in an environment in which I can raise a family.
All right, let's talk about college for a moment, guys. You've got college typically requires a tremendous amount of debt. So a lot of college graduates are graduating with $30,000-$40,000, some of them hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. College is about preparing you for a corporate job. It's, for the most part, not about entrepreneurialism. So you've got a lot of things like debt and corporate jobs. Are you guys looking at college at all, or are you thinking that a different form of preparation might be in order for you? Nathan Servin, why don't you take that one?
I have spent some time in the collegiate world and taken some classes, and my basic understanding is that the collegiate environment is designed to produce people who work into the system. There's basically, it's looking at producing employees. So you were mentioning earlier, it isn't designed to produce people who are entrepreneurial. So instead, I have set collegiate level work on the side. It doesn't mean I'm not intellectually motivated and trying to do other things as far as reading and so forth. But I've tended to focus instead on practical skills, such as marketing, business management, personnel, HR things, all these various different aspects of business that are going to set me well in the future, rather than going and learning something in a classroom environment where it's divorced actually from the application of that knowledge. So it's very much taking wisdom and looking for an application, and that's been my theory behind the whole collegiate level experience.
It seems to me, guys, that education has got to be more about mentorship than it does about packing facts in the minds of young men. How do you think mentorship is different from sitting in a classroom with 30 or 300 students? Chad?
Well, frankly, in my opinion, training works best when it replicates or it represents the environment that you're training for, such that if you're looking to be a good doctor, if you're looking to be a good attorney, the best training experience that you're going to get is when your environment most closely represents the eventual environment that you want to be in, because then you're going to know, you know, when A comes up, this is what you do. If you've done that five times in the context of a very wise and experienced tutor and mentor, you're going to know how to do it when you're out there on your own. I see the rest of my life really being about character and about being relationships with God and with other people. So as I look for the training now and over the next 5 years, what I'm going to look for is training that includes relationships with God, with other people, and about character. And that's the type of training I'm going to look for. Frankly, I don't find that in Harvard or in Yale. That's why I'm working on a radio program. I'm working under a mentor. I'm working in these different areas. I work as your assistant because that's the life I see for me, and that's where I need to be until then as well.
Nathan, I think you referred to this, but I think there are people out there that are going to accuse you guys of being intellectually minimalists. You're not really out there to stimulate your minds. You're not studying college-level material. What do you read? What do you study, Nathan?
I study history, political science, business, finance, communications. All these things are interests of mine, and that's the key, they're interests. And so I'm willing to go and spend the time and research which books are good, which programs are the best, and I'm really looking to build myself and who I am as a person rather than just check the box and having completed Economics 101. All these things are interests, like I said, and so that really is the guiding principle of what my studies are. Currently, I'm doing some work in presentation. And communication. All those things are going to be helpful in later life.
Chad, you know, think about what you're doing for your preparation. What do you really want out of life? What's your vision for your life?
It would be really nice when I'm 80 years old on my deathbed looking back on life to have no regrets about how I spent my years, especially as a young man. And frankly, I've heard from many, many men looking back, they always wish that they would have done something different. And particularly, it seems like in those young adulthood years. And frankly, it's probably because at this stage in life, the temptations are so strong to go here, there, or some other place and not really have a vision for the future and have the character to stick to that vision. So my goal is to glorify God, to affect the larger culture for His kingdom and His glory, to work in a church, to have a family that will carry on a godly heritage for many, many, many years. And that's not going to come out of a vacuum. So that's the training that I'm pushing for right now.
Chad, when you look at what other guys are doing, they're going to college, they're having a good time, they're partying, doing whatever they're doing. As you look at the grass on the other side of the fence, do you ever see it as greener, or do you enjoy your own life, the life that you live right now?
Absolutely, I do enjoy it. There's a real temporal appeal to some of that that I can't say doesn't sound fun at some point or another, but frankly, it's a dead type of, from my opinion, it's a dead type of pleasure. To me, what gives me joy at the end of the day is knowing that what I've done has been the very best thing that I could think of to do with my day, and anything other than that, I think, would only cause me regret and remorse later on.
Nathan, what are you doing on any given day? You're 23 years old. You are not going to college right now. What do your days look like?
Currently, I am building a business in the new home construction industry. So I rise early and go the rounds, go to my job for the day, work there, come home. I study in the evening some of the books that were mentioned earlier. And also interact with my family. It's very much a relationship-based lifestyle. It's really, truly wonderful.
What do you like about it? What's the best part about your life?
In a word, I would say it would have to be freedom. As much as is humanly possible, I have the choice of self-determination and I have the flexibility to travel, to spend time with my family, to work, all based on a larger picture of where my overall goals are leading me. In Galatians 5:1, Paul exhorts us that for freedom Christ has set you free, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. And this, while it's in the context of legalism, is a larger principle that I think should apply to all Christians, period. And so in my life, I've attempted to put this into practice and to maximize my freedom so that I'm able to serve Christ.
Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, what is it about a life without college, outside of the corporate world, that constitutes a special freedom that these fellows like? It's amazing, an amazing concept. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Generations. We appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, is it time to get out of the box on education? Today, options beyond the Ivy League schools and college. Well, there have been some outstandingly successful people who have done a great job by just being an entrepreneur and skipping college, skipping the college debt and the boring classrooms for 4, 5, 6 years in a row. Well, one of the options that you might consider is Vision Forum's Entrepreneurial Boot Camp coming up here in August. You can check it out at visionforum.com. And folks, the real issue comes down to, what is education? Is it stuffing facts into people's minds like loading a disk drive, or is it something more than that? Is education more about discipleship, mentorship, relationships, character? Is it about real life? When education has been drained of these things, mentorship, relationships, character, and real life, my friends, you don't have education anymore. You've got a surrogate that's not going to do you well. That's why I wrote the book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, and I would encourage you to get a copy of this book if you are a human being or you have children who need to be prepared for life. You need the book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. You can get a copy of the book by calling us at the office, 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. Again, for your copy of Upgrade, call now, 877-842-CHECK. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation